Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We're going to do the remainder of the tight end position here. So it's going to be kind of a smorgasbord, if you will, of just tight end thoughts, remaining after basically the first three shows that we've had. So looking, Tyler Higbee, top 12 seasonal finish on his resume, tight end 14. This year, I think the big thing with him is this is just a lack of ceiling. And I think, as we continue to look forward, I thought, hey, the routes are going to be there for him is really what I thought for him. I think the difference there is you need to have some of the ceiling stuff too. And you need to have some of the other ceiling indicators. And he just didn't really have that. And I think as we've spent more and more time studying the tight end position, I think it's going to get more and more important, the tight end position in some of the formats that we play here. So I've made a pretty concerted effort to think about it and look at it in a different way. I haven't really written about it yet, but I think I understand it in a way that's better. I've written a little bit about it in some of the younger guys, but understand it in a way that's better. 72nd percentile career for yards per route run, targeted on 70, his routes run that he's been targeted on 74th percentile. Again, those are nice numbers, but that really blends in. And so I think, when you look at these, you need basically the triad: huge route numbers, really good yards per route run, and a high, target share. That really would signify a large percentage of routes that he's been targeted on. That really is I think the trio there. And I guess, maybe signified there's, a couple of prongs, I guess, to that. The volume perspective, a lot of team dropbacks. And is he running a lot of routes on those dropbacks as well, right? So those things, I think, that volume being one aspect of it. And then the production really in two other tenths as well. And then a lot of it's tight end touchdown variance there too. But I think you really need to make high-end bets on these guys. I think that really matters. We sort of see that with Higbee, right? The difference between 14 and 8 isn't that big, right? And if you can't really crack into the top 6, there's not a ton that I think you warrant a high-end investment or a ton of differentiation there. Anyways, if you could start them in flex considerations and the like in those types of formats, I think that can be helpful, right? And there, that can actually be a place where some of these guys are undervalued, but just realize that the difference between them doesn't end up really being that much, so you can really arbitrage in that range. I think it feels some safety. So that's my thought there. Eric Ebron, he's going to be 29. He's basically got one hit on his resume, so we're watching for maybe the future for him. Is he a low reclamation type? That could be something to watch for. That we could potentially be interested in there as a really like a low end sort of, hey, everyone else forgot about him, tight end 3 or 4 type on your team. We'll see how free agency treats him. Irv Smith is a name that I think people have pretty highly still. This feels a lot like the situation in Dallas where it was Blake Jarwin and Dalton Schultz, and it's very much of like, all right, why are we, what are we doing here with the taking a guy that hasn't done it versus a guy that has? There's some age differences in that range as well between those two guys, but I think that has been an interesting paradigm that I look at some of these, and so now we're seeing it again with some of the stuff with Irv Smith. He's tight end 14, for example, and then you compare him to Conklin, who's down at tight end 31. So I don't think Conklin's like this world beater or anything like that, but I do think when you get a guy that can be good, I think we might necessarily overwrite that a little bit. He's very much, Conklin himself kind of blends in 46th percentile in terms of targets, in terms of yards per route run, 41st and the percentage of routes that he's actually been targeted on. So And some of that stuff actually fell off this year as well. You know, some of, like, I think some of his usage stuff is used more in the slot, for example, in prior years. That came down this year. So maybe with a change in coaching staff, that might be a thing as well. But I wouldn't necessarily just write off Conklin as being a guy that couldn't, you know, can eat innings for the tight end position for a team. And again, if you're not going to make a big-time difference, and there's not been a ton in Irv Smith's career that has suggested that he's a big-time difference maker, so I'm probably not in at a cost of, you know, a high-end tight end two, tight end 14 type cost there for him. I mean, going after him, Hunter Henry, for example, David Joku much later on, right? Evan Ingram, guys that we've seen make more of a difference. You know, and so that would sort of be some thoughts there that I have on Irv Smith. So, and then I think you could go much later and take a Conklin type and bet on that situation as well. Keep going down here in terms of Pat Freiermuth is one that I think is interesting. I think a lot of it was touchdown based last year, so that gives me some pause about getting fully in on Pat Freiermuth. We're going to get a changing coaching staff, or a changing quarterback scheme, I should say. And you know, is there additional upside on a guy like Ben Roethlisberger at this point in his career? Maybe. I'm not sure. I would be hesitant to sort of say that. I mean, they dropped back to throw 708 times this year. You know, he had a 10.9% target share. Expected points 18th. He did overperform that in points per game, you know, but he underperformed yards per route run. But again, it wasn't that high at 1.29 expected. So I think that there's, you could see some better situation out of the quarterback. But again, it could be worse, and it could be a situation where they actually don't throw the ball as much either. And so that would sort of be my concern there with him is, I think he's a little bit touchdown fueled. And we saw a very much of a blending in of yards per route run. So, and when you sort of see that, again, he finishes just outside the top 12. So we sort of put that on our matrix. 1.29 very much blends in at the tight end position. Historically, it's not a big time difference making profile. So that would sort of be the caution that I would have there. And again, he's getting top seven tight end treatment. I'm out. Give me Goddard. Or pivot up, right? Those are two clear things that I would do for Freiermuth there. So that would be my thoughts on him. Then you go down, look at some more here. We've got Cole Kmet. Again, he, without touchdowns, basically is a tight end two this year. Again, it's a ceiling option issue. But again, if the difference between taking some of these guys, like, would you rather take Irv Smith or wait, you know, six rounds and take Cole Kmet? The difference probably isn't that much, and I'd probably take Cole Kmet. You know, I'd wait, right? That's kind of what we're talking about. That's, you know, the application of some of this stuff, you know, ultimately. You look down, you know, it's interesting. We talked about Gerald Everett and Jonnu Smith being, I don't know if they were necessarily, you know, comps for each other, or we talked about Jonnu Smith really being probably a guy that was overpriced in the market. And then you could definitely, especially in the NFL market, you could have arbed from Jonnu to take a flyer on Gerald Everett, and they looked very similar historically. And now we see, you know, Gerald Everett, does, you know, it's not anything meaningful, but he outproduces Jonnu Smith, tight end 20. Jonnu Smith wasn't really running routes at the end of the year. So that's an interesting one there in terms of the investment that they made. I think it's a whiff for the Patriots. So I think he's going to be one that, you know, that Jonnu is down in the tight end 25 range. Everett's later on than that. But you sort of get to the idea of, like, man, there's not a ton of there's just not really a ton of upside for a guy like Jonnu Smith. And you sort of saw it because Everett looks a lot like him, very much looks a lot like him historically. And that would sort of be, that was always the caution that I had between spending a lot on Jonnu Smith. You just take a very similar bet in Gerald Everett. And, we actually saw it pan out, not to a meaningful degree, but it did pan out in Dynasty. Firkser was a miss this year. That was disappointing. Fish's tight end 26. That's a bummer. CJ Uzama, tight end 19. Again, I think they probably look to improve the position. He's kind of way behind the arc in terms of like head experience and that sort of thing. So cautionary there. Again, Conklin finished tight end 16 this year. So that's, but he's middling. That's a lot of that's just volume. So those are some of the thoughts there. Again, I think Gronk's an interesting watch guy. Donald Parham, I think, is an interesting watch guy in terms of some guys that could potentially uptick at the position here going forward. So that's really the overall takeaway that I have with those, with the position generally speaking. I think one of the other things you can look at is really where guys rank in terms of yards per route run. John Bates, for example, I'll just highlight a couple of these. 1.19, so that blends in a lot. Donald Parham is another one that I think is interesting. And again, if Jared Cook potentially moves on, 1.31 yards per route run. So that's improving, on his, over a guy like Bates, for example. So I think Parham's interesting from a, hey, he could fit in this offense and be, and he's shown enough that to hang around, coming from that, it was a non-traditional circuit there to get to the NFL, but he's one that I have a little interest in frame wise and stuff like that. I think he has some size and some movement ability as well. I'm just interested in sort of what he will offer as a potential. He may not be nothing better than like a tight end 2 or 3 on his team, but I'm interested in him going forward. Some of the other guys from this past class, there's only Tommy Tremble's and John Bates are the only guys above 200 routes outside of Freiermuth and Pitts. Tremble, 0.65 yards per route run, so we can probably move on from him as being a difference maker. Again, Bates more in that contributor type of role, probably lacking some ceiling stuff. He's at 1.19. Noah Gray was fifth in terms of routes, 0.32, so that's not great. Was targeted on less than 10% of the routes that he ran, so that's not necessarily great. Again, there's could be a little bit going on with that offense too, and doesn't necessarily qualify sample size wise, but that's concerning for sure. Brevin Jordan, 1.19 yards per route run and 149 routes. Luke Farrell, totally replaceable at 0.55. Kylan Grant's at 1.13, so that's interesting. But again, less than 100 routes there. No one else that really sticks out. You're putting alarm bells out or anything like that. Hunter Long was the only tight end at the position. It was the of the rookies, the guys that were 2021 rookies, was the lowest in terms of routes that were actually run there at 22. So 0.36 yards per route run. So we'll see. He probably hasn't done enough to make Gesicki expendable, but I think it'd be interesting if they tag Gesicki and try to work Hunter Long in a little bit more. Again, new coaching staff and the like, so we'll see how that goes. But I think that's an interesting name to just file away back of mind. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Again, just kind of covering a array of tight ends here to finish up the position. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.